Good morning. So if you don't know me, my name's Dylan. I'm one of the elders in this church, and it's always a privilege to be standing up here sharing. What I want to do quickly is, maybe you weren't here for my first one, so because I shared on individual prayer and how we pray individually, and a lot of you might have not been here, so I'm going to quickly summarize that up, because this preach is called Prayer 2.0. So it's a follow-on from Prayer 1.0, and so what I want to try and achieve today, so just so you know where we're going, is I want to equip you to be able to pray better. But not just individually, but in groups. And we're calling for the next 3 weeks for all the comm groups, so you're going to start praying in comm groups. That's all we're going to do for the next 3 weeks. But when you get there, I don't want you to get there and go, what do we do now? So this is a little bit of a preparation to tell you what you can pray for, why you're praying, and where you can go when you do pray. And what you're going to see. And a quick picture just was reminded. John was sharing it, I think, on the community. We had some training on Saturday. He did a great job on that. Was he had been speaking, I don't know if it was a Satanist or somebody, but they had said they were praying over houses that they could see Jesus wasn't at. And how they could see when people were praying in their homes was there was a dome over the house. Kind of like what happened when Passover came and they had to paint blood on the doorposts. And the spirit of death passed over those places. And so what I want you to do is know that how important prayer is. I read this book a while back called, I think it's called Piercing the Darkness and then This Present Darkness. And it kind of woke me up to praying as an individual, but also praying as a family, first of all, and then praying as a church. And the reason we're sharing this 2.0 is because when Ewan was here, he did say one of our weak muscles was our prayer muscle. So we want to work on that. We want to get that as best we can because we want to be equipped to do the things of God. We want to be people that are living lives that are seeing God move. If you ask, I will give you. This is how you ask. If you're not praying, you're not asking. So don't expect God to move if you're not actually. And I'm the one that goes, like, if you ask for these things in my name, I will answer you. I want to be like, if you knock, I want to be the guy knocking on the door of God and going, God, what do we need to do next? Okay, that was a quick intro. Is that good enough? Okay, we can go home now. Well done. Cool. So what? There's five types of prayers, basically. And I'm going to run through them quickly because just for time's sake. The first one is supplication, which basically means asking God. So if you heard my first preach, you don't want to be, my name is Jimmy, what can you give me? That's a sublimation preach. You're always praying, God, give me stuff. And it's not in line with what grows his kingdom and grows your kingdom. And God doesn't really want to answer those prayers, I don't think. Because he wants to answer the prayers, the things you need, not what you want. Okay, so that's sublimation. That's in Matthew 7, 7 to 12. We're not going to read through these. I'm just going to give them to you. So if you are taking notes, just take that down. So sublimation. The second one is thanksgiving. We've got to continue just as Steve stood up and because of what God's done, we've got to thank him for what he's done. We've got to be a grateful people. Thank those people that have walked with you as well. So thanksgiving not just to God, but in your prayers, pray for the people that have done stuff for you and ask God to bless them as well. Adoration. Okay, so that one is Psalm 145, verse 1 to 8, and I want to read that one. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall condemn the works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. I shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth in the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Worthy to be praised. Adore him. Confession, which is New Testament, Josh Jen, I don't know if it's just biblical, but we call it repentance. So confession. We need to confess our sins to Jesus. You might think, oh, but he knows everything I do. speaking to God about what you're doing wrong makes a big difference to just knowing what you're doing wrong and know that God knows what you're doing. Confession is, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I know my heart is sick, but Lord, you're the only person that can make it right. They're my favorite, and I think every single part of churches and growth of churches comes out of the fifth one. It's called intercession, intercessory prayer. And we don't have to put that up, but 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petition, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. That we all should be interceding, not just for yourselves, but for those around us. We need to be people that are praying for one another. There's a reason sometimes when you're driving your car and somebody's name pops in your head. It's just not, I wonder why. You know how you're going to find out? Phone them. Say, God, just put your name on my heart. Is there something I can pray for? It's an incredible thing that happens when that happens. Because every time I've had that, there's always something. It's always something. Because the Holy Spirit is very active and alive in our lives. And he wants us to realize that as he's putting those things in our hearts, that's where we act. Cool. So those are the five things we pray for. So that sums it up. So if you're looking for what those things are, those are the things you're going to be praying into. That will break down your prayer. But what do we pray for? So those are the things we pray for. Well, what do we pray for? So as we did the first prayer 1.0, yourself is a good one to start with. You know, the biggest person that's stopping you from getting everything that's happening in God in your life is you. You're your biggest stumbling. That's the problem with us. We get stuck on ideas, we get stuck on hurt, we get stuck on things that have happened to us, and so we can't step over our unforgiveness into forgiveness. We stay in bondage, and we're like, okay, but God, please bless my business, and you're wondering, well, why is nothing happening? Why do I feel... It's normally because of that thing. It's you. God always, and he wants you. He's not cared about everything else here. He wants you. The second one you pray for is your family. So unless you didn't, so if you think, so my wife and my daughter are sitting in the front chair, they are my family, but Jesus said something that's going to blow your mind. Who's my mother and my brother? You guys are my mother and my sisters. This is your family. It's a lot bigger than you thought, isn't it? Right? Got more cousins than you actually thought. A lot more uncles and aunties that are. But they're good. It's not like the ones you used to go to. When I used to go to my aunties and uncles' house at Bras on a Sunday, it didn't turn out to be very Jesus-like, ever. It's always a bra and brandewijn and those type of things, and you're like, yo. And so. Then let me digress. So family. Family is very important, but also your blood family, okay? So the one place we can always pray for is, which of your family aren't serving Jesus? Are they on your list? So I'm just giving you, so as you're hearing me, just as you hear it, put them on your list. Because when community comes, that's what you're going to be praying, okay, as a church. Then the third one is church. So now you know this is the family, but this is not the only church in the world. Josh Chen isn't the be-all and end-all of churches. There's God's worldwide church. We never ask you to become a Josh Jenner. I know we say it a lot, and it's not something that in the heart of the leadership, but it is a good vibe if you say it. Like, we belong to Josh Jen, you know, we're Josh Jenners. But actually, what we want you to say is we're New Testament Christians. We want to live our New Testament life as best we can. Doesn't matter what church you go. Because what happens if we start making a church a big thing like Josh Chen? You think if people aren't here, they're missing out. And it's a very dangerous place to be. So when you pray for the church, pray for it in the wholeness that it is. Not in. So I remember Dudley Daniels used to say this, and we've been talking about him a lot lately, New Covenant Ministries, but he used to say, I don't care if you sprinkle or you dunk or like, let's get that. Some people do it differently in different churches, you know. Some people walk around with smoky tea bags, so what? Not your point to judge those people. It's your point to love them and trust God's going to move in their lives. So stop taking what other churches are doing and going, it's so easy to find fault. Come on. Like, if we're walking around finding fault with everything in every church, we're not actually finding the gold in our own churches, and especially the gold in other churches, where God is actually doing stuff. We celebrate where other churches find Jesus, and you hear people got saved. In a Muslim country, some guy suddenly, Jesus spoke to him, no church involved. You know, and we're thinking, oh, how did that happen? It says you have to hear the voice. And we're going, we're trying to understand it. Celebrate it. Okay. Good. And then your city or your town. So we've got a couple cities and towns here. So we've got Sunningdale. We've got California. Newport. We've got Melkbos. And then whoever is from another town, there might be people from Tableview. Are we praying for those specific places around us, our neighbors? Just when you walked in here, you probably thought, what are we going to pray? Now you've got too much to pray about. Okay, it's a good problem to have. I want you to have that problem, like there's too much to pray about, like God. So the point of this is, even though I'm giving you pointers, the end of the day is, God, who do you want us to pray for? Because we can have all these lists and tick boxes, but there's no relationship in that. So we go back to prayer 1.0. Individually, God, where do you want me? So in case you didn't know what happened in 1.0, it was sit down, find a quiet place like Jesus did, switch off all distractions, and meet with Jesus. That's 1.0. 2.0 is, now we're going outside of that place. What do we do when we leave that place in the morning? What happens when we get to work? Or the taxi cuts you off? Is Jesus still there when that happens? Or somebody upsets you? Or somebody says something that's not that nice about you? Your work is not up to standard. Do we get offended and go, or do we go, okay, God, I'll pray for that guy. And Lord, if my work is not up to standard, help me become better. Not get offended and think you can stand on your house and, who do they think they are? They tell me I'm not good enough. That's what we do. We've got to see the opposite side of everything, because God comes from the opposite side of all this stuff. Sorry, my mouth goes very dry. Cool, and the last one is the nations. So lucky we have a nation here from the other side of the pond, as Phil put it. And we've got to be praying for the nations. And so I want to share a story with you that I shared with, and so if there's people from my old comm, they'll know exactly what I'm going to share about now. It's called the Bob Challenge. And the Bob Challenge came out of, I can't remember how long ago that was, so Sunningdale has a building, and outside that building was a place where we used to play and cut our feet up, touch rugby, on a piece of grass there. It had a servitude basically running through it, I remember. And it was great fun, but we needed that piece of land for more parking, and they put that baptism. So if you go there now, there's a baptism pool, but it wasn't always like that. It wasn't ours. It was the municipality's land. And three of us got together, and we used to meet in town like once a week just for lunch, and then talk about what we wanted to pray for. And in this thing, so it's somebody you will probably, most of you will know, Grant Banwell was one of them, and another guy who isn't serving Jesus anymore, Jason Reaper, which I'm praying for and connecting with at the moment. We started this thing called the Bob Challenge. And it was every day for 6 months praying for this specific thing to change. So it didn't work out in 6 months for us. But let me read what happened with Bob. So I'm going to read a bit of it, and then I'll try and paraphrase it because it's for time. I just want to make sure I'm not perfect. So one day Bob came in all excited. So this comes from a book written about walking on water. I can't remember the guy who wrote the book, but it was a guy who wrote a book about walking on water. And in this book, this is the story in the book, and it says, one day Bob came all excited about a statement in the Bible where Jesus says, ask for whatever you will in my name, and you shall receive it. Is that really true? Bob asked. Doug, the guy who wrote the book, said, well, it's not a blank check. You have to take it in context. The teachings of the whole scripture on prayer. But yes, it really is true. Jesus does really answer prayer. Great, Bob said, all excited. Then I've got to start praying for something. I think I'll pray for Africa. That's kind of a broad target, Bob. Why don't you try and narrow it down to one country? All right, then. I'll pray for Kenya. Do you know anybody in Kenya? No. Have you ever been to Kenya, Bob? Nope. Bob just wanted to pray for Kenya. So Doug made an unusual arrangement. He challenged Bob to pray every day for 6 months for Kenya. If Bob would do that and nothing extraordinary happened, Doug would pay him $500. But if something remarkable happened, Bob would have to pay Doug $500. And if Bob did not pray every day, the whole deal was off. Okay? Do you know what I'm setting up for you? Eh? Okay. So I'm going to summarize the rest. So it was a pretty unusual request. So Bob basically started praying. And Bob probably prayed, I think it was, let me quickly check, for about 2 months. Nothing happened. And so Bob's from the States, just so you guys know. So you're in good company. And so he got invited with his wife to this one of these international dinners, whatever his wife did, and he'll end up sitting at a table. And at the table right next to him was people introducing themselves, and the lady next to him said, oh, so I'm from Kenya. And Bob was like, what? What do you do in Kenya? No, we run the biggest orphanage in Kenya. And he was like, tell me more about it. And she was like, she got quite a little bit like shocked. Like, this guy's so excited about Kenya. I've never seen anybody so excited about an orphanage in Kenya. What she didn't know, Bob had been praying for 2 months every day for Kenya. So he told her, this is what I've been doing. I've been praying every day for Kenya, and this is what I've been trusted for. So she said, well, why don't you come and visit the orphanage? So he thought, can we go today? He was so excited. So anyway, they arranged for Bob to come to Kenya. So anyway, Bob went out to Kenya, went to this orphanage, and they ended up seeing, it was a massive orphanage. And as he was there, something in his heart was like they needed medicine. So on the way back, while Bob was praying on the plane, back from Kenya now, after he had visited, he felt like, why don't I just go and visit all the pharmaceutical companies in America with their sell-by-date drugs and find out if they can send that to Kenya. So obviously Bob, he pulled out about $1 million worth of pharmaceuticals and sent it to Kenya. So this was so next minute he receives a call from the lady that he had met at the dinner saying, Bob, unbelievable, we can't believe what you've done. Like, this is incredible. Would you come back? We want to honor you. We're having a thing, and the president of Kenya is going to be there, and he would love to meet you because this is a massive thing for us, like $1 million for, you know, that's 20 million rands worth of pharmaceuticals just in South Africa. So anyway, Bob's all excited, jumps back on the plane, heads back there, and obviously they have a whole shindig about this thing. And then the president says, well, Bob, thank you. Would you mind coming? I'd love to show you Kenya. Like, drive around and see Kenya. And so Bob said, I'd love to do that. So off he goes with the president of Kenya, Bob, who started praying 3 months ago, sitting in the car with the president of Kenya. But it doesn't stop there. They're driving around, and they drive past the political prison camp. And Bob said, what is that? He said, no, that's a political prison camp, he says. So why do you have it? So he said, well, we keep all the guys that do things. Why don't you just let them go? Well, Bob, there's a whole thing. Like, we can't just let prisoners go. Like, it's the thing. You know, and so anyway, Bob flies back to America, and he's still praying every day for Kenya. He gets a call. I'm going to try and find it, yeah, quickly. Gets a phone call from the State Department of the United States government. Is this Bob? I don't know about you, but if I ever get a government call, it's like, is this Dylan? I don't know if I want to answer yes or no. What's going on? Okay. And he's like, yes? Were you recently in Kenya? Yes. Did you make any statements to the president about political prisoners? Yes. What did you say? I told them to let them go. The state official explained that the department had been working for years to get the release of these prisoners to no avail. Normally, political channels and political maneuvering had led to a dead end. But now, prisoners had been released, and the State Department had been told, largely because of Bob. So the government was calling to say thanks several months later. The president of Kenya made a phone call to Bob, asking him if he had come back. This time to pray for him to choose his cabinet. So what I wanted you to see in this thing is, committed prayer does not fall on deaf ears in Jesus' world. If you commit yourself to praying properly, you can change a nation. But imagine what they would have done for him. Like when he prays, he believes it. When he prays, he understands that God's going to do something. My heart this morning is that when you pray, I hope you believe it. Because the God we serve is not dead. He's alive and well. So that's the end of my prayer story. But what I want you to do is, today, I want to challenge you. I'm not going to give you $500 if it doesn't happen. But I definitely want to hear testimonies of what does happen when you do pray. So let's get into that place. This week, you've got a whole week of community. But when you leave here, start now. Don't wait until Wednesday. Wait until we start the prayer thing. Start right now. So whatever you wrote down. So I'm going to tell you what. So since we did this, a whole bunch of our community guys, every night we pray for Russia, Morocco, the Ukraine. For those three countries, because we were working in sort of thing. And because, so Russia was the first one, because obviously at that time somebody from our community wanted to pray for them because our guys were going into Russia. And obviously when the war started, Ukraine got thrown in. And then somebody asked us to pray for Morocco from our comms. So those are the three. Then we picked up Malawi because Kali wanted Malawi. So just to tell you what happened in Malawi. So we prayed for medicine for Malawi. And what actually happened was Tess and Ian went to Malawi, planted plants that stopped malaria. And that's become a massive thing in Malawi. So one little girl's prayer for a country, and we still pray for it, it's changed the scope of malaria, which is one of the biggest killers in Malawi. We pray for the hospitals. I don't even know where that one came from. I think it was just Kali add-on. For kidnapped, trafficked children around the world. It was someone else's. We still pray it every night. And we pray for our families that don't know Jesus. There's a lot to pray for. We pray for that every night. Now, like I said to you last time when I did the individual prayer, it is a repetitive thing, and sometimes even when I'm praying and I feel like, yes, feels like rehearsed. But even in rehearsed prayer, it feels like God answers it and changes all the time. So we need to become people that pray.